God's word is a fire in my bones,
and I cannot keep it in.
We are not building an institution or a program.
We are building the kingdom of God.
This is Do Not Keep Silent.
Good evening, friends. This is Do Not Keep Silent. My name is Jason Dezurek, your host for the program. Thanks for tuning in. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. Oh, don't be a pushover. Again, find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. So appreciate you tuning in. My guest tonight is Eric Wilkins. He's pastor at Benton Ridge Calvary over there in Benton Ridge, Ohio, Sugar Grove outside of Ada as well. And yes, he's the senior pastor at both churches.
The only pastor.
So he's a little busy. And Eric also 4 years in the Marine Corps and 9 years, in the Ohio National Guard. And Eric, I just wanted to, thank you for being here, first of all.
Thank you for having me.
And like you said, we've been talking about this almost 10 years, I think.
Seems like it.
Yeah, but who knows? So I'm glad he's here. Again, Eric Wilkins is my guest tonight, Pastor Eric Wilkins. And again, we'd like to take some time tonight, share with you some history, and also just want you to know, too, we're going to be digging into a little bit about PTSD tonight simply because, that's an issue that's going on today for sure. Mm-hmm. And just something that we think is, needs to be addressed. So with that said, though, I want to begin with some scripture, and then let's get to our program. 2 Timothy 4:3 states, "For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear." So with that as our foundation beginning tonight, Eric, if you don't mind, let's just get started and, let's get into history here, because some people have never even heard about what you're about to share. I mean, literally, they never heard this account of what has happened in the history of the United States. So what is this called? And, let's just get into it.
Well, I had never heard of it either prior to being in at boot camp. That's the Battle of the Chosin Reservoir. It happened in Korea. Winter of 1950. If you talk to any Marine, they know this battle and they know the people who were involved. To give you a little bit of background on the, again, I'm not a history expert by any stretch, but North Korea invades South Korea, and they're winning. They're winning big time. They push the American and Korean forces all the way down to the Busan Peninsula, and they're just basically kind of encircled by the North Koreans and the ocean. Douglas MacArthur was in charge of the UN forces at that time, so he decides to make this very aggressive landing at Incheon. And for those of you that don't really know the geography of Korea, it's basically like Florida. It's surrounded by water on three sides, and they're basically landing on the Gulf side of Florida, so to speak. And Incheon was not a very hospitable port, so nobody really expected him to land there. And it was a very successful landing. It was led by the 1st Marine Division. They were able to cut off the North Korean supply lines, basically annihilate most of their army. And they began pushing up north pretty much unimpeded. They were really winning well. And, with every war, there's politics.
Right.
The Chinese are like, we don't like how close you're getting to our border. And I'm very overly simplifying this. Our president, Truman, kept telling MacArthur, "Hey, you need to slow down. Don't provoke the Chinese." If you read anything about MacArthur, very, very talented, very tactically sound guy, but he very arrogant as well.
Didn't worry about politics.
That too, but he was very overconfident as well. And one of the greatest military intelligence blunders, in my opinion, the Chinese started moving troops into North Korea, into the mountains, without us even realizing they were there. The UN, all the UN troop, or all the intelligence gatherers, that whole community really dropped the ball on this one. And the Marines were a part of, a forgetful moment. It wasn't just Marines that were there at the Chosen Reservoir. It was, I believe, the 10th Corps, which was combined, the 1st Marine Division, I think it was the 32nd Regimental Combat Unit of the Army, some British commandos, and some Republic of Korea soldiers as well. Mm-hmm. And like I said, the Chinese were able to slip tens of divisions into North Korea without us noticing. And they were given orders to attack only the Army units. I'm not saying this because I'm a Marine and I'm proud of the Marine Corps. I'm just telling you what I've read in history. They were told to don't attack the Marines. And it really was a very brilliant strategy because they attacked with such force at the weak points, outflanked, and surrounded the 10th Corps, which was primarily made up of, like I said, the 32nd Combat Regiment and or Combat Team, 1st Marine Division, so on. And they cut them off. They completely surrounded them at the Chosen Reservoir. And if you've read any military history, that's not a good thing. You know, you read about Custer being surrounded at Little Bighorn, the German 6th Army being surrounded at Stalingrad. It doesn't turn out good, typically. And in fact, MacArthur wrote them off. He's like, they're going to get annihilated. We lost them. So, you know, basically forget about them. And the 1st Marine Corps Regiment was being commanded by a guy by the name of Chesty Puller, Colonel Chesty Puller. And if you talk to any Marine, they know and idolize Chesty Puller. Because while everybody else was like, oh my gosh, we're surrounded. What are we going to do? We're all going to die, da-da-da-da-da. Chesty had this, and I can't quote it perfectly. I've heard the quote said differently several times. It was like, well, they're in front of us. They're behind us. They're to our right. They're to our left. We are completely surrounded. They can't get away now. We've got them right where we want them. Mm-hmm. And it was really that mentality that won that battle. And it wasn't a tactical victory because we, you know, were, you know, surrounded, cut off and whatnot. But they were able to fight their way back to a port and evacuate after everybody had written them off as lost. And if you talk to any Marine, it wasn't a retreat. They were simply attacking in another direction. You know, that was the mentality that they had. And that has always resonated with me. You know, that mentality of, no, we're not running away. We're just going to kick your butt in another direction. Mm. You know? And they did. They managed to get, I mean, they had a lot of casualties, obviously, but I mean, to be able to, I equate it to the miracle at Dunkirk, how the British and the French were able to escape at Dunkirk, you know, with not minimal loss, but what could have been a complete, utter disaster. Mm-hmm. They were able to destroy 8 Chinese divisions in the process. And you know, when wars losing 8 Chinese, or 8, you don't lose wars when you don't win wars. I can't speak tonight, Jason.
That's all right.
You don't win wars losing divisions like that, so.
Absolutely. Again, friends, sitting down here with my friend Eric Wilkins, pastor at Benton Ridge Calvary, Sugar Grove outside of Ada, and 4 years in the Marine Corps, 9 years in the Ohio National Guard, and just taking time and just taking a look at history. And with that said, we want to also take some time and, well, dig into the scripture we started the program out with. We'll do that when we come back after this quick fast cast, but 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. So, Eric, when we come back, we're going to dig into that just a bit of how that kind of connects up with us today, because some people are guaranteed, well, what does this have to do with me today? Who cares? Who cares about some battle in the 50s?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll learn them.
Yeah. And friends, I just want to encourage you, we are standing on the shoulders of giants today. We have got to not forget that. The way forward is back. Again, this is Do Not Keep Silent. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com.
This is the Worldview Warriors Fastcast,
your daily spiritual energy drink,
with your host,
Jason Dzurek.
If you are following Christ and doing your calling for Him, trust God. Friends, it's not about you anyway. And if another person chooses to not follow God, as long as their actions are not directly or negatively impacting another person, I would encourage you to let them go their way. Could another person be hurt indirectly? Well, more than likely, yes, but that is a result of living in a sinful world, isn't it? Consider the rich young ruler, friend. Jesus told him the truth and challenged him to go a certain way. The young man decided to do what he wanted to do and to go against God. Other than being selfish, why else would you or I or anyone try to force someone to follow God? I will leave you with this question. If you really are about following Christ and His example, are you willing to follow His example with the rich young ruler as well? Go find our blog post titled, Lead Me, Follow Me, or Get Out of My Way today.
Find us online at worldviewwarriors.org.
Yeah, go find us online at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. Again, thank you so much, friends, for taking time to tune in with me again, sitting down here with my friend Eric Wilkins, who's the pastor at Benton Ridge Calvary and Sugar Grove outside of Ada. Just appreciate you being with us here, Eric.
Glad to be here.
Absolutely. 2 Timothy 4:3 again states this, for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Before we get into how we can apply this today, again, you were sharing about a battle that happened a while ago.
1950. Korean War.
In the Korean War, and about how the Marines were able to basically kind of fight in a circle because they were completely surrounded. Yep, Is that a good way to put it?
Yeah, you could throw it like that. But they were completely surrounded by a very numerically superior force, cut off, written off by their leadership, and were able to fight their way back to safety, back to the sea, and get evacuated. And in the process, they basically destroyed most of the Chinese fighting ability in the process.
And, you know, in that quote that you shared from Chesty Puller, did he say something to the effect of we're outnumbered 29-1, they can't get away from something like that?
I've heard the quote
so many times
in so many different ways that they were outnumbered something like that.
Incredibly
20-1,
amounts.
Yeah. And I meant to tell you this in the break. Yeah. I actually ran into a guy at something. I don't know if it was a funeral or whatnot, but he was there in the Chosen Reservoir.
Oh, my goodness.
Let me rephrase that. He was not actually one of the ones surrounded.
Oh, okay.
He was part of the breakout.
Okay.
Okay. He was a tank driver or a commander, maybe. And he said when they were the 10th Corps and 1st Marine Division and the remnants of the Army and Republic of Korea troops were attacking south, these guys were attacking north at the same time. And he said when they got to the outskirts of where the reservoir was, he could not drive his tank up the road without running over all the dead. There were just so many dead Chinese everywhere. And he's like, I can't even describe it to you, Eric. It was just astounding.
Mm. So friends, again, some of you might be going, well, how does that connect to the Christian life?
Yeah, probably a hard connection.
You know? But let's get to it. So again, 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. So with that, Eric, help us understand, how does that connect to today?
Well, I think if we take a good look at especially the world around us, the church is surrounded. It's surrounded by sin, basically. You know, I'm 46. I don't remember a time in my history where sin was promoted so much. And the church...
To be accepted.
To be accepted, yes.
Yes.
Exactly. And to... When we, you know, both of my churches are small country churches, you know, maybe 30 attendees. We're outnumbered tremendously by the secular world, just as Jesus was back in his day. And there are, you know, like 2 Timothy says, there are people who just won't put up with the sound doctrine of Jesus Christ. And we are constantly attacked. You see it in the news. You see it, in, you know, TV, radio, everybody, you know, comedians, everybody attacks us. And I wish, we could say we got them right where we want them. But I, you know, I feel like I'm in the surrounded part right now. Mm. And I know we were talking off air. You kind of agreed with, you know, that mentality, or not that mentality, that the that situation that we're in. Mm-hmm. And we need to be positive about this, like Jesse Fuller was. You know, yeah, we're surrounded, but we got them right where we want them. We're going to win this because we got something better than Jesse Fuller.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And friends, with that, too, I just want to encourage you. We need to have a victory mindset. We need to have not this victim mentality mindset anymore. We've got to have a mindset like Jesse Fuller was talking about. Of, look, we got them right where we want them. We're completely surrounded. They can't get away from us now. Another one of my, well, personally, personal hero, another personal hero. Nobody ever defended anything successfully. There's only attack and attack and attack some more. That's George Patton, for those of you who don't know. Those two guys, well, let's be honest, Jesse was probably a little tougher. I don't want to, I don't like admitting it because I love Patton so much, but
they were just
Chesty was
just
tough.
Different ranks, just they, different ranks.
Very much. But the thing is, friends, we, with our faith, that doesn't mean we attack in a physical way. We need to attack with the mind that God has given us, with this spiritual strength God has given us, with the Holy Spirit's leading, right?
Yep.
With the Holy Spirit's counsel.
Do you remember the show Major Dad?
I've never seen it.
Never seen it? Okay.
Sorry.
It was on like late 80s, early 90s, and honestly, it wasn't that great of a show.
Okay. But
I watched it because of, you know, had Marine in it.
Okay.
Or the Marine Corps was in it. The guy who was the major, name escapes me, but he was being interviewed by this very liberal reporter who was anti-military. And he at one point says, you know, we're training these Marines to conduct our peace offensive. And she's like, what, a peace offensive? That's contradictory, you know. And he's like, no, not really. We're spreading peace by, you know, by force. And that term, peace offensive, has always stuck with me. Because when you talk about having an offensive mindset, you know, attack, 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 it's not that we're, you know, attack. We're not like the, Westboro Baptist. That's so anti-productive. That's so, you know, unproductive, that kind of attacking. We're attacking with love. We're attacking with peace, you know, overwhelming force of peace and love. Mm. And a little bit different than Chesty and the boys at the Chosen Reservoir used, but.
But again, we're talking about a mindset here, friends.
Absolutely.
We can either have a mindset of, oh, we're going to lose, defeatist mindset, or you can have a victory mindset. I really encourage you to have a victory mindset in Christ. And with that, we're going to just turn just a little bit, because now we're going to get into something. Friends, for our society today, it's tough to talk about, but PTSD. Let's wrap the program up with this a little bit, okay? Post-traumatic stress disorder. That is something that is definitely real in our society, that people deal with it all the time. I mean, I'm assuming you know people that deal with this, right?
Absolutely. I was very fortunate in my time in the military, and even when we went to Iraq, it was just things that kind of died off, for lack of better words. We got a briefing one time that said, you know, hey, this date, yesterday's date, last year, there were 300 attacks all over Iraq, and yesterday there was only 30. So our unit was very fortunate when we were in Iraq. We never lost anybody. Didn't even get any wounded. And we came home. You know, we went to, we'd gone to Kosovo and everything was fine. We went to Katrina and, you know, never lost anybody. And there was no real, for lack of better words, any trauma. And you got through Iraq, okay. Well, I got out in 2011, and that unit was ramping up to go to Afghanistan. And I had my platoon commander when I was in Iraq was a guy by the name of Nick Rozanski, Lieutenant Rozanski. Great guy, great guy. And a couple of the other guys, the notable guys that stuck out in my head was Master Sergeant Hanna. It was a great guy that I got to know real well in headquarters unit. But anyway, they're ramping up to go to Afghanistan, and I'm getting out. And I run into now Captain Rozanski. And he's like, hey, and I, at that time I was in the S3 office. S3 is operations. They kind of do the planning and, you know, set up this and that. And without boring your listeners with all the military jargon. But he's like, hey, we're coming back together. We're going to be in S3. I'm going to be in charge of S3. And I was like, ah, sorry, sir. I'm getting out. You know, I've played soldier enough. I'm ready to move on with my career as a firefighter. And he's like, yeah, but it'll be like old times. You know, I'll take care of you. You know, this, that, and the other. And then I spent the night in a hotel. Like, man, maybe I should go. Maybe I should, Well, of course, I called my wife, talked about it, and she talked me out of it, and I thank her for that. Because she was pregnant, and I was getting beat up physically and whatnot.
It was time.
It was time. And so they go off to Afghanistan, and we're actually in the hospital, me and Jenna, and she's having the baby. And obviously, as you know, you have a few kids. There's not much.
A few.
There's not much for us to do.
Nope.
And my phone rings, and ladies, I don't want you to be upset with me because there wasn't anything really going on at that moment when my phone rang. So I answered it.
Right. So,
and it was one of the guys that I'd gone to Iraq with. Actually, went to high school with him. He was working down at in the state level. I don't remember exactly what his job was, but he called to tell me that Rozanski Hannah and a guy by the name of Staff Sergeant Rick had gotten killed. And he didn't know any details at the time. And, you know, there I am about to experience the birth of my first child. And
yeah.
I get this, one of my friends has been killed. It was a very bitter, but yet sweet day.
Mm-hmm.
And they were there for several more months, and I had no contact with them for obvious reasons. They were overdoing their thing. When they got back, I started meeting up with guys, and they just weren't the same people that I knew before. There was something different, And of course, at that time, I was complete. Not that I was ignorant that PTSD existed. I just didn't really know the details of it, or what to look for, or anything like that. And as I was hanging around with the guys and talking to them, they were just having a lot of mental health issues, struggling at their job. And even when I came back from Iraq, it's just a rough transition from the military. And even anybody that just goes into the military and comes out honorably discharged, it's a rough transaction. Even back in 99 when I got out of the Marine Corps, never saw an ounce of combat, but it was just a rough transition because people are different in the military and in civilian life. And they had seen all this and gone through it. And I was talked to one of my friends, a good friend who was there when those guys were killed. And I could just tell that, he's retelling the story and he's almost falling apart in front of me, And of course I guess you could say I had a little bit of survivor's guilt because, I know that if I would have went ahead and deployed with that unit and Rozanski said, hey, I'm going out on this patrol, and well, you're not going without me, you go, I go.
Mm-hmm.
So could I have done something for him? Could I would I have saved somebody, or would I be
right there
right in the body bag next to him? And that that ate me up for a while too, but I not the way that it I'm sure you've heard the 22 a day, 22 veterans a day commit suicide. We're losing so many more veterans to that than we ever did in the war on terror. And I want to say nobody cares, but when you as an individual know, even like first responders, cops, firefighters, EMS, they see so much stuff. And we're all tough guys. We don't want to talk about it. We're not going to ask for help typically. So it's kind of incumbent on us to be like, how are you doing today? When you say, how you doing? Don't say like a greeting. Cause when you're, hey, how you doing? You gotta be like, how are you doing?
A real question,
not a greeting, and really force them to, with peace and love, obviously, to address these issues. And there are plenty of organizations out there that can help them. You just got to get them pointed in the right direction. And I don't want to, you know, make any recommendations or anything like that, but they're out there and they need, they're there to help.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And friends who are tuning in, if you've not dealt with this, I guess for me, what I want to encourage you to do is to, as Eric was just saying, we need to love. So listen. Okay, you have two ears for a reason. Listen to these people when they're struggling and they're sharing with you their story, and they don't know what the answer is. It's okay to listen
and really listen.
Yeah, you
know, most people listen.
Yeah.
To respond.
Not
they're
like
thinking about their next question
on your phone. Okay, meaning when you're listening, but you're digging on your phone. No. Put the thing down and listen. Now, I want to encourage you too. Look, I'm not trying to make this easy and simple. Look, the easy answer, though, is find hope in Jesus Christ. Truly, find it in him. You know, Eric, we're going to have to wrap this up, but if it's all right, can you hang till the after the top of the hour? You okay with that?
Sure.
Can you hang with me? Okay, good. So, friends, we're going to continue this conversation again. This is Do Not Keep Silent. My name is Jason Dzurek, your host for the program. Don't worry, we'll be right back in. Do not keep silent. You don't know me now. You don't know me now. I'm not a pushover. I'm not a pushover. You don't know me now. You don't know me now. I'm not a pushover.
Be made new in Jesus Christ.
I won't play your games. Just let me be.
Find us online
at donotkeepsilent.com.